we're reflecting back on more than a year of living with COVID-19. You may recall the first case in the United States was actually reported on January 21st in Washington State. A month later, an outbreak of cases was reported at a nursing home there, and scientists realized that the virus had likely been spreading for weeks. Well, about a year ago, the outbreak was declared a pandemic, and more than 500,000 people have died in the U.S. since then. Joining us now is Dr. Scott Lindquist. He's a Washington State epidemiologist for communicable diseases, and he's also the acting state health officer. Scott, it sounds like you're a very busy guy, so thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and thinking back to the early days of this pandemic, what have you been reflecting on a year later as far as being part of that COVID response from day one?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm amazed at how much we've learned and how far we've come in a year, because when we made that first diagnosis, we didn't know the basics of coronavirus. Things like, how long does someone need to be isolated? Do you have to hospitalize everybody? So this first case, you know, we got him tested very quickly, got the CDC, flew out to Seattle, and we got him hospitalized. He wasn't that ill, but we got him hospitalized because we didn't know any better. And I just think how far we have come since that day. All the protocols that seem every day now were things that we had to create as we went along.
This was a person who had returned to the United States after a trip to China. At the time, when you think back on that moment when he was hospitalized, did you think that it would get as bad as it did?
Yeah, we had a good sense it was going to be bad. We had a good sense of watching what was happening in China that we were very concerned. And to be really clear, we realized while this was the first patient that was found in the United States, was likely not the only person, and that this had been spreading probably for a couple weeks before we detected this first case.
Yeah. Well, then, of course, if we look back, there was that horrific outbreak at the nursing home in Kirkland. And I think that was the moment when we all realized how deadly this could be for older people. What are your reflections on that? And what do you take away from dealing with that experience?
Yeah, I think that was a very rude awakening for many of us. We weren't sure how serious this was. There were a lot of people that didn't feel it was serious at all, thought we were overreacting. And when it happened in nursing homes and we had so many people die and so many people get sick, it was really scary and really helped us amp up our response here in Washington earlier than the rest of the country.
Does that experience still stay with you? I mean, it must have been traumatic to go into those nursing homes and realize what was happening.
Yeah, it definitely does. But I think what was more traumatic than anything was our lack of supplies, our lack of PPE, our lack of lab supplies, our lack of our ability to get enough trained staff. And I would have never imagined in a country like the United States that we would not be able to produce enough gloves and gowns and masks and swabs for lab tests. That was what was the most terrifying to me, is how quickly we got behind on everything.
I know you've said that at that point people were blowing up your phone every day on the issue of PPE, protective equipment, the testing materials that we didn't have. What are people blowing up your phone about today?
Vaccine. It's all about vaccine. Everybody wants vaccine and they want it right now. And unfortunately, this is better than it was for PPE. There isn't enough vaccine to go around. So we're getting allocations every week, but about twice as many requests for the vaccine than we are getting allocations.
Is that going to change soon? I mean, are we almost to the point where demand is going to be less than supply?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're starting to see some small signs of that, where appointments are being unfilled, where it's easier to get a vaccine. But again, we're still fairly restricted in the early phases. So like here in Washington, we'll be opening up our phases this week to get to other populations other than just 65 and older. And I think once we do that, there'll still be a strong demand. But I think you're right. I mean, it's going to go from short supply to nobody wants it very quickly.
Your state was among the first to start limiting the size of gatherings and closing businesses a year ago. And now Governor Jay Inslee has been starting to loosen some of those restrictions. As we've seen in states across the country, capacity limits are starting to go up in businesses, places like restaurants. If you're a sports fan, you'll be able to gather at outdoor events again starting next week. Are you comfortable with things like that?
I am cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way. We're blessed here in Washington with a governor that turns to science. But across the state, we have seen many of our health officers, so these are physicians that are in public health, are getting a lot of pressure from political sides. And we've actually had a lot of our health officers leave or be fired. And there's this tension between elected officials sometimes and the health officer that wants to do the right thing to protect lives and are being asked to do things they don't feel comfortable with. And it either comes to a health officer leave or a health officer gets fired.
Restaurant capacity is going up to 50% in Washington state on March 22nd. But I also see that restaurant workers still won't be eligible for a vaccine, even though some other frontline workers will be. So explain that to me. How can you pack more people into restaurants but not protect the wait staff?
Yeah, that's exactly the point. And I'd even get a little more scientific than that. If we look at our number of outbreaks in Washington state, clearly the number one outbreaks are in long-term care facilities. But when we look at the second most common transmission in Washington state, it's restaurants and bars. And so one thing that we are really talking pretty heavily with the governor's office is, do we need to put the vaccine where the transmission is occurring?
Dr. Scott Lindquist, Washington State's epidemiologist for communicable diseases, also the acting state health officer. Good luck to you.
All right. Thanks, Peter.